You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are back with David Noel. He's been working with Manuka Honey for a long time and helping get the education out and helping everybody use it for their health. So how do you, when you're in New Zealand, is it considered a food or a medicine over there?
That's a good question. A lot of people do like the flavor of the Manuka honey, and it used to be almost given away for free, and so they a lot of the people just used it, you know, because it was a very low cost honey, not realizing the benefits from it. But we usually sell it in the grocery section. You'll find it in New Zealand and here in the U.S. and probably in Canada as well, in the grocery section as a food item. In some cases, you'll find some of the product also in the nutritional sets, or what they call whole body sets, as well as a nutritional item. But most people, when they think of honey, they think of it as a grocery item, so they're usually looking for it as a food item. We don't make a lot of claims for it because FDA rules, and so we just sell it as honey, and then we can back it up. One of the things that a lot of people need to be aware of is that there's a lot of Manuka honey being sold out there. And just because it has a number on the label doesn't always mean that it's correct. There's been a lot of skullduggery that's gone on in the Manuka field lately, internationally, actually, for the last probably 7 or 8 years. Because of the value of Manuka honey, about 3 or 4 years ago, England found out that they were selling more Manuka honey than was being produced in New Zealand.
Right.
And that set off a spark. And so the New Zealand government have been putting in new rules and regulations to try to hamper that a little bit. So just because there's a number on it doesn't mean that it's what it says it is. As far as I know, we're the only company that sells stuff in the U.S. We don't sell a whole lot into Canada, except usually over Amazon or our website, that produces a certificate of analysis for every jar that comes out of New Zealand. We have it packed in New Zealand by beekeepers that look after their products very well, and we have it tested independently to make sure that what we put on the label is actually in the jar. And there's a lot of people out there that have numbers that don't really mean anything on them, just to get a extra dollar or 50 cents for their product. And so not all Manuka honey is created equal, I'm afraid. We were the first to introduce it into the U.S., and it was good in the early days, but as the monetary value went up on it, we got all kinds of people jumping in and selling all kinds of stuff. And That's slowly getting cleaned up. But, you know, I would just caution your listeners to make sure that whatever brand they're looking at, that they can get some backup information on it that shows them that what's on the label is actually in the jar.
Absolutely. And you've been working with Pacific Resources International for 30 years. So this is not a new honey to you at all. You've seen it from just its infancy stage to going all across North America. How would you help people in the States or Canada choose good research and choose good honey?
I think it all comes back to that certificate of analysis. If the supplier is unwilling to show you an independent lab test on their products, I would just have a big question mark. There are a lot, and some of them sell very well. And some of them have recently, you know, had to put on their labels that they're now multiflora Manuka. That means they're mixed with a whole bunch of stuff, and they always have been in the past. But the new regulations are telling them that they have to do that. If somebody just puts a number on there and it doesn't have an MGO rating, that's the most important thing. That's one of the active ingredients of the non-peroxide activity in Manuka honey. And it should be probably a minimum of 60 for the average person. But if you're looking for something to treat a particular condition, it should probably be in the 200 to 300 range, the MGO levels. And if they don't say anything about the MGO levels, then you just have to scratch your heads a little bit. Usually, the baseline for the new regulations is about 83 MGO to call it a Manuka honey. We have a couple of blends that we sell very well that, that go lower than that, but we call them a blend. We call them a Manuka blend. And for the average person that's out there that just wants to maintain their health and build their immune system, those honeys are excellent. The higher grade, some people think that more is better. Not necessarily true with Manuka honey. You're just not going to be able to take advantage of all the benefits if you're already healthy. But if you have a digestive issue that you're dealing with, you know, you need to be looking at something in that 280 to 300 range MGO rating. Now, this is a popular rating system that belongs to a certain group of people. They use it as their trademark. It's called UMF. The Ministry for Primary Industries in New Zealand has now said that they can only use that not as an activity grading, but as a purity content. So, again, they should, if they're using the UMF trademark, should have an MGO rating on their label somewhere as well. That's the only thing that the government is now accepting as active marker for Manuka honey. So you'll see there's a lot of people changing their labels. There's a lot of people falling out of the marketplace now because their honey just doesn't come up to those levels. And we have probably the biggest range. We have anywhere from a 5-plus all the way up to a 30-plus, both on the UMF side and also on our active Manuka honey side. Again, we have such a big range because everybody's different. Everybody has different problems.
So, David, do you play with the markers in the honey, or it just comes off and you do lab testing and realize that that one is more potent or that has a higher rating?
Yeah, that's why we test, because we never know.
Yeah.
The beekeepers and used to tell us all, we tested one drum and the rest of them are okay. And so we had to stop that because you never know. You can't tell by tasting. You can't tell by looking at it. Sometimes the texture changes, the color changes, at different times of the year or year to year. And you just never know. I had a good friend that bought up about 20 acres of Manuka, the plant, because that's where all the benefits come. And it showed, a very high level of activity for, 5 or 6 years. And, of course, what happened as soon as he bought it. It went way down.
Oh.
And I said, just hang on, just wait. And sure enough, the next season, it came right back up again. So there's no rhyme or reason to it. They think it's stress on the plants. It could be the soil type, how much rain they get. They don't really know why areas produce this. But unless you test it, you just don't know. Idea.
Okay. With the bee pollen and royal jelly and all those other goodies that you get from the bees, is the Manuka a more medicinal or more nutrient value as well over regular bees keeping?
Yeah, absolutely. Bee pollen in general, again, it's like all raw honeys, it is good for you. And it has a lot of, they call it the multivitamin of the natural world. The problem is that it's, if the amount of nutrients or the efficiency of those nutrients and the quality of those nutrients is based on where the bees take their pollen and nectar from. So if they're in a high desert situation where there's a limited amount of flowers and stuff to take the pollen from, that pollen is going to be a lower quality. The highest quality pollen, honeys, propolis, royal jelly, all either come from places around the rainforest, certain parts of Africa, and New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because they're better places, it's because of the different flowers and trees that are there that have a variety of nutrients that the bees can collect. So the bees are limited, to where they collect their pollen from. Our bee pollen is probably one of the most expensive around, but it probably has 2 to 3 times more nutrients in it than your average pollen that you'll find on the shelf.
And it's not being brought over here to North America yet, is it?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Is it over here in North America? Can we access the bee pollen from Manuka honey?
Yeah, you can find it. Well, our beekeepers don't separate the Manuka pollen out. It just comes in with their general pollen.
Mm-hmm.
You can order it on our website, www.pri.com, or shop, sorry, it's shoppri.com.
Okay. And is there any other web pages or any other information that you'd like to attach to this to help people learn more about Manuka honey and how to get the best of it?
Yeah, well, we have quite a bit of information on our website. But if you just type in Manuka honey, there'll be all kinds of information. You just have to kind of sift through it because some of it will tell you, well, you have to have a 16-plus to be effective. And that's just not true because for the first 8 years, all we had was a 5-plus. And for 90% of the problems, it worked.
Right. Yeah.
It only went out. So you have to kind of weigh it up. And if they have any questions, they're welcome to give us a call, you know, at our warehouse, and we'd be happy to give them information. But it's looking for that MGO rating. That's probably the most important.
So they could call the Pacific Resources International Warehouse?
Yeah, Pacific Resources International, they can call us at 805-684-0624.
Okay. Thank you very much, David. You've been a wealth of information on Manuka honey and all the benefits of eating Manuka honey from New Zealand. So thanks so much for being on the show.
You're welcome. Thanks so much, Kathy.
Okay. We'd also like to thank our producer, Alan Wishart, and we'd like to thank all the community stations across Canada that air our program. Have a healthy and happy day.